show you don't want to miss. The Big E Sports Show with Elissa Walker-Campbell. Stay tuned as Elissa goes up close and personal with some of the biggest names in the world of sports. From Dallas Cowboys Hall of Fame quarterback Roger Staubach to legendary broadcaster Pat Summerall. Think big. Think big. It's all happening right here on the Big E Sports Show.
Elissa Walker-Campbell, I want to welcome you back this weekend to the Big E Sports Show. It is a full slate, a full lineup this weekend. Plenty to cover and talk about with the 2010 Red River rivalry getting underway here in Dallas. And, you know, we've had a shuffling of guests. And a guy that's filling in for us that we can always count on at the last minute is Joey Lucci with Phil Steele Magazine and philsteele.com. Joey, you know what? It's funny because I think back to the month of August, and I said I was going to have you on either that last week in September or going into the month of October. So what perfect weekend. We're talking OU Texas. What intrigues you the most about this particular matchup?
You know, first off, you know, I'm glad the pinch hit, and I'm happy to be on. And enjoy our time talking college football. But looking at the Red River rivalry this year, I would think you'd have to agree, Lisa, it's a little bit down. I mean, just because of what, you know, you've got Oklahoma probably not playing as good as most expect them to be playing at this point. Yeah, they're 4-0, but, you know, a couple I say three shaky wins. You know, they dominate Florida State, but, you know, the opening, game against Utah State, you know, Air Force, you can probably chalk that up to they don't see that type of offense too much. But the Cincinnati game, you know, I'm like, wow, I was a little surprised at how close that game was. And then, of course, Texas coming in, they're limping a little bit because of that big loss to, UCLA. They give up like 193 yards rushing, so a little bit down, but still the Red River rivalry. Still, the atmosphere is going to be great. But when you look at this game, I think one of the things that Oklahoma is going to do is I think they're really going to take advantage of the rushing on their end. And I think they're going to try to gut the Longhorns. And if you looked at it, Texas has been known for years being that team that's going to be able to stop the run. 40, 35 yards per game, that's all they give up. But I think the Sooners are going to be more and get over that 100-yard mark, especially with DeMarco Murray this week.
Right.
I think Landry Jones can have a big game with Ryan Broyles. Not discounting Texas or anything like that, but this is Gilbert's first, you know, Red River rivalry matchup. Texas still hasn't found that identity at running back. They still haven't had that guy they're going to give the ball. You know, is it Whitaker? Is it Newton? You know, they've got to find a running back identity to take that pressure, you know, off of their young quarterback there. And I think it could be a long day, you know, down in Dallas there, at the Cotton Bowl. So I believe that Oklahoma can get this game. And I think they can get this game rather easily. And the way they've been playing, they kind of need that win like that, hang their head. It's not going to be like that Florida State win. But I think that when you look at it in the end, I think a double-digit win is not out of the question. And, it's funny, if you look at the history of the Red River rivalry, the only two of the last 12 Red River rivalries haven't been decided by double digits.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, that's one thing when you talk about this game throughout the years. I mean, it's what rarely a blowout. I mean, this is a game that, for the most part, is played very closely. But I wanted to zero in and dial in and talk a lot about Texas right now because it's interesting. They are, I mean, Greg Davis, the offensive coordinator, Jason Peter and I talked about this in the first segment today, is that they're looking for playmakers. Right now, they need guys to step up, and they do have some terrific athletes that are explosive that can go out there and really do some things.
No, let's just face it. You don't go to Texas without becoming a great athlete and doing that. I think one of the other things, too, is nobody's realizing they're going through that offensive switch. You know, they're kind of transforming that offense more into that spread, to more of a pro style. And like I said, with a new quarterback, kind of a new offensive philosophy, you know, they've got to get guys like Kirkendall, you know, maybe John Childs needs to step up a little bit, Malcolm Williams. These receivers have to kind of help their quarterback out. And like I said, establishing a running back that you can kind of lean on and say, here you go. Remember, when Colt McCoy was there, he was the leading rusher there. And, you know, they don't have that this year. And that's not a disrespect to Garrett Gilbert, but there's things that Colt McCoy did that Garrett Gilbert's not going to be able to do right now just because the inexperience factor on that. So he needs to have some pressure being able to take off. And I tell you what, the defense needs to come up and play a lot better than it did. They got gashed against UCLA, and that was at home. And, Oklahoma's a much better team, in my opinion, than UCLA. So if they let that happen again, it's going to be a long Red River rivalry for them. And, even though they sit at 3-1, you know, they come into this game with a lot of question marks. And I think both teams do. But I think the team that probably has the most upside after this game will be Oklahoma. I think their questions will be answered a lot more than Texas as well. And Texas now, if they lose this game, they'll probably be bumped out of the top 25, and that hasn't happened in some time. So there's a lot of questions with this game that's going to be answered when it's all said and done.
Of course, Texas ranked number 21, Oklahoma number 8, and kickoff is set for 2:30 Saturday. We're all looking forward to this. Everybody's getting ready for all the activities. And, you know, certainly we think back to 1 week ago, what in the world happened in Austin, you know, with UCLA? Did they just take that team for granted? I mean, because I can promise you Saturday that the Longhorns, they will be prepared mentally, of course, physically, but mentally and emotionally. They'll come out of the gates very strong.
And that's what it is. I think it's a little bit of that, and also coming off a tough Texas Tech game as well too. They did that the week.
That's
prior
a good point. Yes.
I mean, so there's a lot, and plus, like I said, young offense, young quarterback, and things like that. But you know what? Mac Brown's been there forever, and just like Stoops, they've been through a lot of Red River rivalries. They know how to prepare their teams and get them ready and everything. So. Basically you got to throw records and everything, what's happened prior in the season, out, because and I know anything can happen in this football game and will happen in this game.
Well, Mac Brown, he has certainly been dialing it up as far as the decibel level, because as I understand this week, the Longhorns, they've shuffled some starters. I'm not sure if you've heard much about that, but he is really looking for a number of guys to step up and emerge.
Yeah, I think Mac Brown's just trying to find that identity. I think he's, it kind of was lost a little bit. Now, usually when you have a new quarterback that comes in after a quarterback has had so much success as, Colt McCoy has, you've got to establish kind of a new identity, even if you've had a coach that's been there for so many years as Mac Brown has. So you kind of go through that kind of turning, and I think that's what he's trying to do. Find someone that's going to step up, be the leader of this team, and say, hey, listen, here we go. But you know what? They're 3-1. They had one bad outing against UCLA and things, and there's a lot of teams that would like to be 3-1 at this point. So, if that's bad at 3-1 with Texas, like I said, if there's one team that can turn a lot of things around and is still very talented and you don't want to sit on them, it's the Longhorns.
Well, Texas certainly looking to get back on track. Now, you bring up a great point, too. We were talking about Oklahoma when we started off this segment, and you had said that, some of the wins that Oklahoma has had, they've been just so close. I mean, Utah State won by 7, Air Force by 7, Cincinnati by 2. But you know what? They are winning close games. I think that's an important point to bring up, because last year, BYU, they lost by 1, Miami 1, Texas 3. We remember that.
We went right through those games and we said, okay, if they would have just did this, they had the first down edge, they dominated this game, and they're winning. And at the Utah State game, going up that, actually Utah State's got a lot of seniors. They got 16 senior starters on that team, so we're a very veteran club on there. So that was a little bit closer than I thought. It didn't really surprise me as much. You come out and you beat Florida State. Air Force, not as much. The Cincinnati game, maybe that was on the road. So you're still looking at it. You still went through it. You still are 4-0. And like I said, a lot of teams, want to be 4-0 at this point, and they are. They haven't lost yet. So looking at it at that point, a good win, a good showing here against Texas. You're 5-0. You're on a bye week, and you've got the big part of your Big 12 schedule coming up, and your biggest opponent is in your rear view mirror. So this is a very important game for them, because after they get through Texas, they're thinking, the Big 12 South national champ, or the Big title game, and then the national title game after that. So there's a lot more riding on Oklahoma right now. They've got a lot more to lose than Texas does at this point.
Of course, yes. Oklahoma this week, and then they have a bye, and their schedule certainly doesn't get any easier. Looking forward to the big game in Lincoln, Nebraska. That will certainly be one that we will keep our eye on. Talk some more about Oklahoma offensively. What has impressed you the most about Landry Jones? I know that perhaps he's had some inconsistency. I thought he was fantastic against Florida State, but he still is. Let's not forget, he's a young quarterback, still developing, still getting that rhythm.
Absolutely. What's impressed me most is they're being able to win these close games, and they're being able to, there's a lot of frustration, a lot of emotion going through the 60-minute game, that we call football, and he's been able to go through the ups and downs and everything like that. And you know what? It's better to go through the ups and downs when you're playing maybe the weaker opponents on your schedule at the beginning, other than obviously Florida State, which I think is very talented. It's better to get that out of the way then, so when you're playing in the Big 12 and it gets a lot tougher and teams are a little bit more leveled with you, that he'll be able to handle that. And every week's a learning experience for him. But I'll tell you what, nothing takes away from the experience he learned last year. If you're going to have anything good happen out of that Sam Bradford injury, it was him being able to get all that experience from last year, which I can already see playing into this part, because sometimes when you get those young quarterbacks and you see some adversity, things go the other way, and it hasn't yet for Oklahoma. So I think that's a good thing so far.
Bob Stoops is going to be very pleased in terms of the consistency he is receiving offensively when you talk about wide receiver Ryan Broyles and running back. Boy, this fifth-year senior, DeMarco Murray, just has been absolutely fantastic.
Doesn't hurt when you got a guy like that. You can hand the ball off, and then you're in trouble.
He's special.
You can throw to a guy like Ryan Broyles. Both those guys are obviously going to be playing on Sundays, and it's just good to have those weapons around you.
Talk to us a little bit about, as far as let's kind of move around and some of the other teams within the Big 12 Conference. Kansas has been one of those teams I've had a difficult time to kind of pinpoint and figure out. What direction are they headed?
Yeah, you look at it and you go, opening week, North Dakota State, are you kidding me? This could be a long year for them. They rebound and beat a good Georgia Tech team. Then they lose to Southern Miss, and they won, you know, the week prior. So they're kind of up and down, but as expected. You know, Turner Gill's a heck of a coach. You know, he took a bad Buffalo program and turned that around and had them to a bowl game, and it's going to take some time. You know, the Mangino thing with the bad things that were happening out there with that, they're kind of turning their program around and trying to do some different things. He's a new coach trying to do some different things with his offensive defense philosophies. And when a new coach comes into a situation like that, you know, when you win early, players start to buy into that, and you can have some early success. You know, you don't see that success. Players start questioning, going, man, this isn't working here. And it usually takes a new head coach about 3 to 4 years, because during his recruiting and everything, to get the athletes he has put into place for that program to kind of to go. I think Kansas will be fine. I think they'll be a mediocre team in the Big 12 this year, right around that 6-6 mark. They could flirt with a bowl, but they, you know, they've got a big game this weekend, and it's going to be a test for both them and Baylor.
Of course, as you had said, they will be heading into Waco at Baylor, and Baylor's been one of those teams that perhaps has been a little disappointing. I mean, they're 3-1, but, you know.
You know, I looked at Baylor, I thought 3-1 the first four games. You know, I think a lot of people thought 3-1, that you're not going to beat TCU. But, you know, they barely got by. You know, the Rice team, yeah, the score didn't show it, but, you know, it was a little bit closer than it was. The guy that, remember we talked about this 2 years ago, Alyssa, the Robert Griffin, how
yes.
He was going to be able to be, you know, the Superman sort of the Big 12 and everything. But in my mind, you don't hear a lot about him right now. You're not hearing, you know, like he was before he got injured and stuff like that. I still think he's going to have a great career at Baylor when it's all said and done. And I think this is a big staple for both of these. This is a huge Big 12 game, because it could put Baylor at 4-1 and headed to that, we want to get to that bowl. We haven't been there since 1994. And then on the other end, you've got the Kansas team that needs that win because, you know, Gill with the new head coaching staff, they want to get off to that good start in the Big 12. So believe it or not, even though this game doesn't look that appealing on paper and across the nation, this is a huge game for both of these programs and will spell a long way on how they end up in their Big 12 finish at the end of this year.
You bring up a great point, because hypothetically, if Baylor does prevail, they would be 4-1, as you had said. Certainly that's a nice reprieve after that absolute beatdown. I went to that game, TCU-Baylor. We know how good TCU is, but it was absolutely shocking that, I mean, they just cleaned their clock.
Absolutely.
From the start.
And you don't expect that. You know, you expect that from a Baylor, you know, kind of maybe the old Baylor regime coming in, but you really don't expect that from an Art Briles team. But the thing is Baylor's looking at getting to a bowl. That is going to be a huge accomplishment. They've been talking about that as their goal. Briles has been talking about that. Like I said, they haven't been to a bowl since 1994. And to get there, that's what they're looking at right now. Of course, yeah, their aspirations of winning the South and all that. But I'm telling you, being bowl eligible is very important this year in Waco.
Being bowl eligible is very important. It was also very important that quarterback Robert Griffin gets back on track. And he did rebound after a struggling performance on September 18th and had that very nice victory. Of course, what, threw 3 touchdowns and rushed for 50 yards and threw for, what, 268 yards? I mean,
I liked what he does, but you know what they've got to do at Baylor? I think they need to unleash him a little bit more. And I love the way, if he can, you know, start running the ball and do, you know, kind of doing more of that and being that dangerous dual threat quarterback that when he first came out, everybody was so scared of, because he's a track guy. I think Baylor needs to kind of let the reins go a little bit more and let him start running that ball and give those defenses a little bit of a second look, not only passing, but running.
Okay, I want to talk some top 25 with you. I know we are jumping around like crazy, and all you folks that are coming down I-35, you guys want us to be talking more about Oklahoma, Texas, but talk to us a little bit more in terms of the big picture, the big scheme of things. Right now, the top 25, what top team has impressed you the most so far?
Team number two, first off, number one, Alabama impressed me last week. You know, you're in a dogfight with Arkansas. It's, you know, it's 20-7. It's nearing the end of the third quarter. It looks like a second straight national title's bleak. All of a sudden, the reason why Mark Ingram's your Heisman Trophy winner, he comes on, he gets 93 of their last 161 yards. They win the game. Their defense comes up big. And then Ohio State. Ohio State's impressed me a lot because, you know, when you look at Ohio State, they usually have that non-conference game. It was either the, you know, Texas or USC, something that they had lost. Well, they didn't do it this year. They played their big non-conference opponent, Miami of Florida. They've handled every other, you know, non-conference opponent the way they should handle, not those usually Jim Tressel 21-17 wins. But they're just hammering people. And I look at this team, and they're set. They impress me the most, the number two Ohio State Buckeyes, the way they take care of business. No close wins so far. Everything has been decided and decided decisively. And when Terrell Pryor's on the field, he is the best player in college football right now when he's on that field, and he makes all the difference in the world. The guy can outrun defensive backs and run through linebackers, and that scares a lot of defenses.
You are listening to the voice of Joey Lucci. He is with Phil Steele Magazine and philsteele.com. We do need to pause and direct all of our listeners to that website. What kind of good stuff you got going on there? Always some, I'm assuming, great updates every day.
We got a lot of fun stuff too up there. You know, you get up there, you can get all your football information, but what I like about it is you can go up there and you actually can sign up. You know, we're not going to ask you for any phone number or anything like that, no pressure, and you can pick the conference games. You know, and what's neat about it, throughout the conference schedule, go to the Big 12, pick Oklahoma's schedule, see if you think they're going to win or lose. There's prizes going to be available, the ones that pick the most accurate. And if you're not doing too well, your name doesn't get mentioned anyhow on the website. So no harm, no foul. It's fun. It's easy. If you think things are going to happen differently than what I'm talking about, go up to Phil Steele, that's STEELE.com, and pick those conference matchups.
Very good. What did you say were some of the prizes?
We're going to give some, how about some free magazines away? That's always
nice.
Valuable, so you don't have to do that. We've got some other items, you know, right now. It's all on the website, but like I said, a lot of good free publications that have a lot of valuable information in them.
Well, I can promise you as a parent, I mean, having a Phil Steele copy magazine in my car at all times is like a lifesaver, because when they're fighting over the DVD, you just slap that in their lap and they're reading away and looking at all the pictures and the stats.
Absolutely, and then you get your name on the website if you're doing well, too. That's a prize in itself, right? People like that.
It certainly is. Okay, now we got to take care of all the Frog fans down here in the Fort Worth region. TCU, 1 o'clock kickoff at Colorado State. It's their big test as they truly go on the road the first time this year. Of course, they opened up here at the Dallas Cowboys Stadium against Oregon State. But talk to us about as far as just how they continue to progress. They're playing with a lot of energy, and Coach Patterson, he's got his team rocking and rolling.
Absolutely, and you know, expected it at this time. I think they passed their first test. That was the Oregon State game, and they've took care of everybody else. You know, the Colorado State, you know, this is not going to even be close. And the way I'm shaping and looking it up, no disrespect to any of the teams that they do play, but, you know, I'm kind of looking at the schedule and kind of scratch my head going, maybe that Utah game, I don't know, but I don't really see an opponent that when they're playing at their best can even come close to this team. I said it before, Alyssa, in August, I said this team is going, you know, could be 12-0. I really believe they'll be 12-0. I think they're playing their best. I know a lot of people were talking about Boise, and that's what was really weird. When Boise played Virginia Tech in that first week, that's all you hear was Boise State, Boise State, Boise State. And then when Virginia Tech lost to James Madison, you heard about, oh, boy, that's going to hurt Boise State, Boise State. But I think Gary Patterson likes the fact that no one was talking about TCU. But I think you start having to look at this team. But what I really think when you look at both of these teams and you compare them, you know, they both played Oregon State. I think TCU played better against Oregon State than I believe a Boise State did. No disrespect to Boise State on that end, but what I think when it's, if they're both 12-0 at this point, I'm going to give the edge to TCU on that regards of how they're playing. But when you look at it, they're just, both of those teams are going to have to just, unfortunately, they don't say their style points, there's going to be have to be style points. TCU's continuously going to have to beat these teams by 20, 30 points, and so does Boise State, because a loss and a close win with these two programs, the way they're doing it right now, it's about the same thing. TCU comes in and they only beat Colorado State 21-20. You're going to be like, whoa, you know, even though, you know, they could, you know, be 5-0 at the end of the weekend. That's what I mean by that. They're going to have to continually putting the hammer down and having those impressive wins. Even though the BCS says, yeah, we don't look at the style points and stuff, they do, trust me. And Boise State and TCU should continue to blow out their competition. But when I look at the schedule, I think Boise State has a little bit more of a tougher task than what TCU at this point has. And I think TCU, the edge goes to them at this point.
A number of great college football games will be on TV this weekend. Of course, for all of us Oklahoma and Longhorn fans, we're going to be, the eyes will all be watching that big game. But what impresses you? This will be my last question for you. What conference perhaps stands out the most to you right now?
You know what? I'm not going to, the Big 12 has actually been a little bit down to me right now because of what things are happening. But, you know, looking at the conferences that probably has impressed me the most in going back, and I know everybody's saying that, one is the Big Ten because of the way Ohio State's playing. Michigan, their quarterback, Denard Robinson's running through everybody. Wisconsin being ranked and everything like that. And then, of course, the SEC. But now that we're starting to get into the conference play, we're really going to have that question answered in the next 2, 3, 4 weeks coming. And I'll tell you, the big game this week, I know a lot of people down in the neck of the woods there, Texas and Oklahoma is huge, and don't get me wrong, but that Florida-Alabama game is going to go a huge way. This is a national title elimination game between both of these SEC rivalries. Don't remember, Alabama handled Florida in the SEC championship game pretty handily last year. Florida still remembers that. And I think a lot of people thought, ooh, the question with maybe the best, arguably, college football player in history, Tim Tebow, going, well, how is Florida going to adapt? And I'll tell you what, it took them some time, but that offense is adapting and everything like that. And Bama, I think people were like, well, they're going to struggle on defense because of the returning starters and this and that. They don't have as many. I think they've answered a lot of questions too, and they both had some SEC tests, and that's going to be an amazing game this weekend on that. And I tell you what, you get done with the Red River rivalry, you want more football, that's the game you should be tuning into.
Well, Joey Lucci, he is a gamer, filling in at the last minute and doing a fantastic job, always on top of your stuff, providing some great information. And well, who do you think is going to prevail in this Oklahoma-Texas game?
I think it's going to be bigger than most. I think, Texas fans, you might want to turn off right now, but I think Oklahoma gets this game, and I think they get it somewhere in the realm of a 35-20, 17-20 range. I think it won't be that close, and I think in the second half you'll really see the running game of DeMarco Murray and that big offensive line take charge of defensive line for Texas that still has got some question marks right now.
Regardless of whatever side that you are on, those coaches will have their guys ready to play. A lot of emotion, a lot of adrenaline, and we're all looking forward to it. Joey, outstanding job. Again, we want to encourage you to go to their website, philsteele.com, philsteelemagazine.com. Joey, thank you so much, and we will talk with you again real soon.
I'm looking forward to it, Alyssa.
You bet. We're going to step aside. Much more straight ahead this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. Join us online at eradiosports.com, and you can email us at info@eradiosports.com. We will be right back.